Now that we're through the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, we're thinking about Sukkos and the festivities of a Yom Tov. I thought, well, I've dealt in the past with Sukkot and with Lulav and Esrog. I thought this time I'll speak about Yom Tov. I mean, Yom Tov, there's lots to talk about. The halachos of Yom Tov, in some ways, can be more intricate than halachos of Shabbos, because there are certain exceptions, and there are certain exceptions to those exceptions. Yom Tov is a time when we have a closer relationship with our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we take something with us after it. And we say in the davening, V'asiyenu Hashem Elokeinu es birkas moedecho, we should carry forward the bracha of the moed. So it's written that as we leave the Yom Tov and we lose this closeness with our Kodesh Baruch Hu, how do we maintain that closeness? We maintain it by learning Torah, because Yisrael v'araisa kutcha barichu, there's like a triangle of people of Yisrael learning the Torah and our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we're now going to learn a bit of Torah, and the question which I want to address today is a very specific aspect of Dinim of Yom Tov, which I have not seen discussed in many places. You probably know my style from some previous talks, that I like to see how halakha might apply nowadays in the manner in which we live now. That's not chas v'shalom a reform argument to say that things might change and be diluted. But there might be certain dinim which will rely on the way in which we live. For example, we once discussed the din of Korban Pesach, and Chazal made the takona that if you're outside a certain area, then you don't have to go to Yerushalayim. Why? Because the time it takes you to walk from Modi'in to Yerushalayim is from 6 in the morning 15 mil, and that's enough. If you're further away, you don't have to. So what if you've got a fast train, or a plane, or a very good car? You can get to Yerushalayim more quickly. So that's a question relating to something which has come about in the technological era, and as a result, the din might change. The Tiferet Yisrael asked the question, and he in fact says that the din will not change as far as Korban Pesach is concerned. Because it says of a derech lo hayo, and that's the way the pasuk was interpreted. But after Sukkot, 2 weeks after Sukkot in Israel, they start saying the same Talmud Motto. Why 2 weeks after? Why not a day after? Because it takes time for people to get home from the Olah Regel, so they get home and then they start saying Talmud Motto. We're not going to start praying for wet weather when people are still on a journey. But in the future, when Mashiach comes, it will be different. People will be able to get home within one day on an Eged bus. So will the din change? And it may well be that as a result of the changing pattern of living, the law will change. The Sanhedrin will be needed, though, to change that law. So how does this kind of question come up in Yom Tov? The question comes up because there's a din called Dovah Hashov Elachol Nefesh. What does this mean? There's a din of ochel nefesh, where you can cook, for example, on Yom Tov. You can't cook on Shabbos, but you can cook on Yom Tov. And you can do anything relating to food preparation on Yom Tov within certain parameters. You can't go picking the corn in the field. You can do that before Yom Tov. It won't go off. But something which is likely to go off. So you can cook on Yom Tov. You can carry on Yom Tov, because that relates to food, bringing around food to other people. And you can handle flame. You don't strike a match, but you can transfer a flame on Yom Tov. Why? Because you need to cook. Ochel nefesh. So now I want to go into the Gemara you've got in front of you in Ksuvos. We'll start at the very end of the sixth line. Rabbi Yehuda Shaul Mival Betchila B'Yom Tov. This is the Kshayla about whether a newly married couple may start to consummate their marriage on Yom Tov itself, because there is shaila that somebody that there might be some bleeding, and we don't want there is a malacha relating to wounding. Amar Rav Papi Mishmei Ravi Lo Tema Yom Tov Shori Hob Shabbos Asur. It is allowed on Shabbos. So are you going to suggest that it should be allowed on one and forbidden on the other? Do I do not feel it be Shabbos? Nami Shori, it's allowed on Shabbos, so why should you suggest Yom Tov? It so happens that Rav Popa says in the name of Rava, on Yom Tov it's okay, Shabbos not okay. Omer Rav Popa, Yila Rav Popa. My Dateich, what's your opinion? Mitoch Shavutra Chavura, the Tzurech Vutra Nami Shalom Tzurech. There is a thing called Mitoch, a principle called Mitoch. The transfer of flame for your cooking. So also, you can transfer a flame for something else. Maybe if you need to light the gas cooker. Okay, well that's also Ochel Nefesh. But maybe to transfer a flame for something which is not associated with cooking. Mitoch Shavutra Tzurech, Vutra Nami Shalom Tzurech. To carry on Yom Tov is essentially for food, but if you're going to carry something which is not food, like you're going to carry your machsa to shul, that's allowed. Why? Mitoch shehutra l'tzurach, hutra nami shelo l'tzurach. That's called mitoch. Elo me'ata, but if so, mutalas is mugma b'yontav. But if you have that argument, what about the din of mugma? What is the din of mugma? Mugma is a spice or an incense. And it was the practice, still is nowadays, amongst some people, but not many people, to put this incense or spice on a fire and let it burn, and that will let out a nice aroma, a nice fragrance. It's a kind of aromatherapy which is done with a flame. Now, can you do that on Yom Tov? You are burning something on Yom Tov. You're allowed to burn something on Yom Tov. You might be actually putting out the flame when you put the thing on, but let's say you don't. And even if you do, it's something which you want the Tzurich Yom Tov. It's not eating, it's not Ochel Nefesh. But you're allowed to handle flame, aren't you? So if you're allowed to handle the flame on Yom Tov, then why can't you put the spice on it? Mitoch Shehutra L'Tzurich, Hutra Melami Shalom L'Tzurich. As the Gemara says here, to Mitoch Shehutra Havara L'Tzurich, just like you're allowed to use flame, L'Tzurich Ochel Nefesh for the purpose of eating, Hutra Melami Shalom L'Tzurich, surely then you should be allowed to use the flame for your aromatherapy. No, he says in the Pasuk, Ach Asher Yochel Echol Nefesh. That's the classic Pasuk for Ochel Nefesh. What is the drosha for Ach Asher Yochel Echol Nefesh? Dove HaShovel Echol Nefesh. We darshan from it, it means something which is equal for everybody. If everybody eats on Yom Tov, of course everybody does, then everybody can handle flame on Yom Tov, and everybody can cook on Yom Tov, and everybody can carry on Yom Tov. But if it's something that not everybody does, then we're going to say it's not Dovashav Lechol Nefesh. It's only a small minority who might be doing it. And if only a small minority doing it, okay, you can use a flame on Yom Tov, but since most people don't do it, therefore you shouldn't do it. That is going to be part of my talk, but I was worried about how controversial it might get. I'm assuming we've got one or two smokers present, and the question comes up with smoking. It came up already 100 years ago in the Popskin. This is part of what I'm going to ask. Changing circumstances have resulted in the fact that originally more than 50% of adults smoked when it was two or three generations ago. It was a fashion to smoke. People didn't know that it was harmful to health, and people would smoke. So then it was thought, you can smoke on Yom Tov. Why not? Because the Lashon HaChol Nefesh. But nowadays, apart from the health questions relating to smoking, the question of Hilchos Yom Tov is, can you smoke at all? I don't know if it's still the practice here to put out a candle. It's not. Oh well, it's a public place. Smoking in a public place, it should be banned. But when I was the Shamas of the Shul, woe betide that I left the boiler room locked where there was the pilot light. People wanted to get in there for their light on Yom Tov. Okay. Nowadays, the amount of people who actually do smoke, nationally, amongst the whole of the British population, is hardly more than 20% of adults. Amongst the Jewish community, I think it's much less. I think it's probably less than 10%. We haven't had a survey to tell us. But whatever it is, it's certainly well below 50%. So can you therefore use the light and burn up the cigarette on Yom Tov? The first question that I was going to say was on something else. And that was the Shulchan Aruch. We'll turn to the second page of your handout. And it's relating to the subject of washing on Yom Tov, or taking a hot shower on Yom Tov. So we look here at the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Yom Tov, and we look at the second line at the top, Sif Beis, Mutar lahachem b'yom tov, one's allowed to heat up on yom tov, mayim, water, lirchot, to wash yodo, to wash one's hands. Avalo kol gufo, but not your whole body. Afilo ein arakso b'vasachas. Even if you don't wash all in one go, you don't wash the whole body. Why not? Let's look into the Mishnah Berurah. Sif cotton tes, yodo. Vahu adin, have we got it? 8 lines down in the Mishnah Berurah right hand column. Sif tes, sif cotton tes. Yodo, vahu adin ponavaraglov. That means you can also use and prepare water, heating it up, for the purpose of washing your hands and your face and your feet. Durechitzas ponov yodo varaglov hudova shove lechol nefesh. Because washing one's face and one's hands and one's feet is something that everybody does regularly and frequently. Umikol makom, but in any case, lo yuchatzon b'merchatz, but he says don't wash in one of these commercial bathhouses. Shomu yavar lirchatz shom kol gufo, because then you might come to wash your whole body and other mikshonim might come about. But all the poskim agree that merchatz does not mean one's bathroom at home. It means the commercial baths somewhere else. And nowadays, well, not only do we all have a bathroom in our house and we take regular showers and baths, people have ensuite bathrooms as well next to their bedroom. And it's a common practice for people to have a hot shower every single day. So here the reason why you can wash your face, hands and feet is because that's Dovah Shovel Kol Nefesh. Whereas, if you wash the whole body, that's not called Dovah Shovel Kol Nefesh. Look at Sifkot and Yud, Mishnah Berurah. Avalo Kol Gufo, Perush, Lahachem Mayim, to heat up water, Kedei Rechitzas Kol Gufo, to wash one's whole body, the Rechitzas Kol Gufo, who Dovah She'ein Shovel Kol Nefesh. It's not common for people to wash their whole body. But only delicate people. If someone's an Islam, if someone's delicate, then on Yom Tov he can wash the whole body. Or for washing a baby, it gets itself easily soiled. Okay. But for those people who are not considered delicate, Islamists and so on, it says here that as it's not Dovah Shovel Kol Nefesh, you can't do that on Yom Tov. So the burning question is, is it the same din now? Do we say that the din which was made then is the same din for all time? Or do we say that since our normal practice has changed to the fact that people don't have to go out to a commercial bathhouse to wash like they used to, that they didn't have a bathroom at home, and the water had to be heated up, and it was a complicated thing to heat up water then, it wasn't just some simple immersion heater. And now we've got it easy at home, constant hot water on demand. People do wash regularly, people wash every day, or maybe not everybody washes every day, but more than 50%, and therefore, the question is, does the halacha change? Let's have a look in the Bu'ah halacha on the opposite side of that page. I'm sorry the print is a bit small. Right, I've got it highlighted. If you look up at my one here, so it's the left-hand column, about a third of the way down, there's a dot, and then there's a Vav Mem Mem, which stands for Mikol Moko. Yeah, the last word on the line is Divimenu in our days. Right? Mikol Moko, Yesh La'ayeh. You haven't got time to read out the whole lot, but in Kalmokim Yeshlaim one should really look at this. Ulai to Vyomenu, maybe nowadays in our time, Ein Rechitzas Raglov Shovel Lechol Nefesh. So this is the Chavetz Chaim writing at the turn of the previous century, that it's not common to wash feet so regularly. Why? The Mishnah is that Rabbi Meir, and it's changed, because only in those days, Shoyochin Havei Yachaf Balim and Alai. In those days, they used to walk without shoes on. They were walking barefoot. So it was normal to wash the feet every day. But he says, nowadays we wear shoes, we got a luxury, so we don't wash our feet every single day. So maybe, so it's the other way around to the question that I was asking. The question that I was asking is, do we now allow more frequent washing? He's saying maybe there was frequent washing, but now there should be less, because you're wearing shoes instead of walking barefoot. And maybe feet should be therefore compared to other parts of the body which you don't wash frequently. But the fin mashin nichtem, the kamon, the shema rosh, the rashba, what we say later, the mixa sheh evare aguf domed upon the other raglov, that if you're doing part of the body, it's as if you are doing face, hands and feet. So it's definitely allowed, you don't have to be machmeh. So even if you're wearing shoes, although you're not going to wash your feet every single day, you can still carry on washing them every day, because it's only part of the body. The question which the Mishnah Berurah raises about nowadays, he does actually put, you don't have it in front of you, but he asks on the question of Mugmar, which I do have here. But in the meantime, first let's just go over the page to the next piece of Mishnah Berurah. Well, I'm going to try and make a conclusion. Let's look at the very top of the Shulchan Aruch on the next page, 256. If the water was heated up before Yom Tov, there's no problem there. You can wash the whole body. We don't say this on Shabbos, by the way, but we say this on Yom Tov. Afilu ke'echot, all at once. Mir zavka chutz v'merchatz. He then talks about the commercial bathhouse. He wants you to avoid that. V'merchatz osur. So he says that if the water was heated up before Yom Tov, it's okay to wash your whole body. Well, the question is, why not? You're not heating up the water, so there's not an inyan of davar shavu l'chol nefesh. Right? But you can do before Yom Tov, you can do whatever you like before Yom Tov.
Nowadays, if the water heats on Yom Tov itself in your boiler, which doesn't entail any extra work,
well, it gets a bit more complex than that, because when Yom Tov comes in, your water, if it's already heated, is there and might only need a bit of top up. If it's completely cold when Yom Tov comes in, and you switch on the water, alright, leave it on, it's heated up on Yom Tov. So we want to avoid water which is heated up on Yom Tov. Even, or you're saying that you switched it on before Yom Tov.
Yeah, but there's no texture.
Yeah, the question here isn't one about tirka, it's one about if the water is heated up on Yom Tov. We're worried about people doing the malacha d'oraisa on Yom Tov, for which there is no hetzer of ochel nefesh, because it's not shove ochel nefesh. So,
if your urn runs out of water second day Yom
Tov, you can top it up. You're not switching it on, you're just heating up.
You're not
going to
have a bath in your urn.
Because you're cooking for, that's cooking for food, it's no problem.
You have your heating on Shabbos, yeah? And the water heats up on Shabbos. You can use your muscle Shabbos to wash the dishes, right?
Yes.
So we're not looking at the fact that the water was heated up on Shabbos.
Because it was not heated up at Issur.
Yeah, that's right. So okay.
Alright. But the principle used here is, if that water was cold before Yom Tov and is in some form heated up on Yom Tov, then that's where the boundary lies. So the Shulchan Aruch says, if it was heated up before Yom Tov, I don't care. However, the Ramah is worried, because he's worried that people will mix up Shabbos and Yom Tov, and on Shabbos we're machmir because of various precautions that malacha will take place, that you will heat up water. So the Ramah says, Hagav yeshoshim b'cholin yon l'chei nagin. The practice, he says, amongst Ashkenazim is to be strict, and we don't make a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, so we'll forbid it on Yom Tov like on Shabbos. But that's specifically the whole body, because even, well, on Shabbos you can take some hot water without squeezing those flannels and part of the body wash, etc. But that's another inyan. There's a question of cold water. You might come to heat it up. Can you wash with cold water? But we won't go into that now. We're going to focus on this question of Hilchos Yom Tov, because we also wanted to look a bit at the subject of smoking. The question is this: what is Dovah Hashava L'chol Nefesh? How do we define the principle of Dovah Hashava L'chol Nefesh? Do we say it's nothing to do with whether it's a benefit for everybody, It's a question of whether people actually need to engage in it or not. So if it's only a small number of people do it, but they need it very badly, maybe that is called Shavu L'Chol Nefesh. And then, if people do not need it, even if most people do it, maybe it's not called Dovah Shavu L'Chol Nefesh. This is the opinion of the Sefer Hilchos HaMoedim. Then there's another opinion. The opinion of the Chazon Yecheskel in Beitza is that most people want to do this. It's not a question of whether it's benefit, whether it's needed. It's something which is desirable. And if it's desirable that most people do it all the time, then it would be called Dovah Shavu L'Chol Nefesh. Then there's a third opinion, which is the Beis Meir in Yared Deot, Kuf Tzadi Zayin Gimel, who says it depends on just if it's done by most people. And even if the minority do not do it, they would like to do it. And maybe they can't afford it. But they would like to do it. But if the majority are doing it, then that's fine. If the majority of people are delicate, then we can't say that's Dovah Shavu L'Chol Nefesh. We have to talk about average people. Then there's another question. Can you cook certain foods which not everybody really eats, or most people don't eat? For example, let's say you like to eat carrot cake, but most people don't eat carrot cake on Yom Tov. Can you therefore prepare a carrot cake? Well, there the answer is surely yes, because if you have guests at your table, they might like to have it, they might not like to have it, but it's not something which people will exclude totally. The same way is confectionery for children. Can you make items of confectionery which only children will eat and nobody else will eat? Is that called Dovah Shavu L'Chol Nefesh? So then the poskim say, yes, there's no problem with that. Why? Because people, adults, might eat it, or they might want to eat it when they see it on the table. So we won't exclude it from that principle. But in the case of taking a hot shower, it simply was never the practice for everybody to wash every single day. That's the essential question. In the question of mugmar, mugmar is, remember, the perfume or the incense on the flame. That is not allowed on Yom Tov. Why? Because it's not Dovah Shavu L'Chol Nefesh. So there, on the subject of mugmar, the Bi'ur HaLacha actually asks, the Chai Tzfem says, what about smoking? He asks, because smoking, is it everybody or isn't it everybody? Strangely, there is a Pnei Yeshua, the Pnei Yeshua actually advanced the argument that because so many people smoke, and he says we understand from the medical profession that smoking helps food digestion, and he even says that smoking contributes to one's overall health, therefore he says it is allowed because it's Dovah Shavu L'Chol Nefesh. Pelepeloim. The Magen Avraham himself talks about smoking. He thinks that it's not Dovah Shavu L'Chol Nefesh. He says that since most people are not doing it, he compares it to the din of Mugmar, which was prohibited, and therefore he says, I don't think you can smoke on Yom Tov. Rav Yaakov Emden says, well, when it comes to the subject of smoking, he says there are some people who just feel unable to sit down to their meal without first having a cigarette. So then it'll affect their Simchas Yom Tov. If they can't have their own Yom Tov by sitting down to the meal because they haven't had a cigarette, therefore he allows them to smoke a cigarette. Even if there's a question about Dovah Shavu L'Chol Nefesh, it's part of the Oneg Yom Tov. The Chofetz Chaim says most people smoke, the Aruch HaShulchan allows smoking, and the Shmuel Shabbos Kilchasa brings down various opinions, both lenient and strict. So it has always been the practice that smoking has been allowed. Rav Avadya Yosef says that if somebody doesn't usually smoke and he's offered a cigarette, then he should definitely decline it on Yom Tov, because for him it's definitely not something which he would regularly do in any case. But the question is, as the statistics relating to smoking become clearer and clearer, the case for prohibiting it on Yom Tov seems to be more and more strong. This we have seen written in the question of smoking, but I have found very little written on the subject of taking the bath or the shower. the Shabbos of Shuvas Be'er Moshe, which is the Debet Shina Rov, asks the question. In Chelek Chesov, his Shuvas, he was asked about taking a hot shower every day, and his answer is, we don't like to change the way things have been done all along. The Ramah says, V'cheinoagin, and he speaks quite surprisingly in strong terms that we carry on the way we've always been. He does not, however, bring particular proofs to his argument. And we do have to bear in mind that the Chofetz Chaim himself, in the Bi'alocha where we've said, talks about how things might change nowadays. Why? Because remember he spoke about the feet. Now, if you're going to change the din, because the feet are now covered with shoes, surely it can also work the other way around, where you'll be more lenient because of the way things happen. And in fact, the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah in the Din of Mugmar also talks about nowadays the practice is, and therefore, he says, the practice might well be changed. But nobody's actually taken so boldly the line of saying in writing, yes, you may definitely take a hot shower on. For most opinions, cold shower, okay.
Because, I mean, isn't that principle that there's lots of things we do in the Mitzvah to the Rabbanon because the Rabbanon made it a particular time, like we and wine and things like that, which we don't change now because circumstances have changed, so why should we not do it?
It's true. However, the Minhogim of former times, or the Dinim of former times, when they were carried on, usually carried on for another reason. For example, the reason why non-Jewish wine was forbidden was because it was used for idolatrous practices. Yain nesech. Nesech means pouring it on the idolatrous altar. So it became a din not to drink non-Jewish wine. Nowadays, the wine you get in Tesco wasn't used for idolatrous purposes. So why can't you drink it? I'm sorry, Tesco do sell kosher wines as well. I don't want them issuing me a writ for slander. But there is another reason why we don't drink non-Jewish wine now. It's called Stam Yenon, because the socializing which is associated with the drinking of wine can lead to more social interaction with non-Jews, and they were worried about intermarriage, and once things start clicking, there is no stopping, and they were very worried how easy intermarriage might be, so they made a din relating to Stam Yenon, which continues the original din of Yain Nesef. The Shalakim is also because of that. In addition, yes, but the original takana didn't apply to whiskey and gin, so there was no new takana made for whiskey and gin. But since there was original takana with wine, it carries on with wine. I'll give you another example. We keep 2 days Yom Tov outside Eretz Yisrael. For Pesach, for Shavuos, and for Sukkot, we keep the extra day Yom Tov. Now, the reason why the practice started was because the messengers who went out from the Beis Din didn't have enough time to reach everywhere to tell them when Rosh Chodesh is or was, and therefore, out of doubt, an extra day would be kept outside the areas of Eretz Yisrael. Nowadays, we go according to the Cheshbon, why should we keep the extra day Yom Tov? Minhag of Hussein, Yubi Odein, Rosh Hashomer, Osa Minhag. So the Gemara in Beit Adachai says, we kept up the same practice. But why do we keep up the same practice? The Rambam says, because nowadays there is another reason. He says in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh that nowadays we're in Golus, people are slung all over the world, we might make mistakes with our calendar, we might give a month choser mole or mole choser 29 days instead of 30 days or vice versa. We're a bit more ignorant now than former times, and therefore we might come to eat chometz on Pesach. So we'll keep the extra day. All right, what about Shavuos and Sukkot? Lo peluk, we don't make a distinction. But there is still a reason nowadays why we keep the second day Yom Tov. It's not the same reason that there was there originally. So that whenever the rabbi said we keep the same minhag, they had another reason for doing so. And for every reason they did say, they had another 7 that they didn't say. So that is the approach taken by the Shalos Shuvos of the Be'er Moshe. He says we want to keep up the practice as it always was. However, I found in the Sefer Shemir Shabbos Kilchosot, where he talks about the din of washing on Yom Tov, in his main text he reiterates the view that we do not wash with hot water which was heated up on Yom Tov. But in his footnote, he says, what is about this question? This question to say the washing the whole body is something which is not common for everybody, but only delicate people. He quotes the Mishnah Berurah, which we've been looking at. He says, but nowadays, Sharov b'nei odom yesh lahem cheder ambatia b'beisom. Most people, if not all, have a bathroom in their house. A lufachos l'krachat, or at least a shower. Lama ne'asar chitzas kol aguf, mishum she'enu shavar l'chol nefesh. Why do we forbid washing the whole body? Because it's called enu shavar l'chol nefesh? Alright, in the time of the Gemara it was different. But Me'ikadim, Sharino Mishum David Shomer Chol Nefesh talks about a steam bath in the Gemara, and going to the Schwitz was more common maybe than washing fully. So the same question he asks is with smoking of cigarettes. If originally most people smoked cigarettes, we could allow it, but now most people don't smoke cigarettes, maybe we should not allow it. He quotes the Gemara which we did in Ksuvus. There, we didn't read the text further, but there it talks about a deer. If you catch a deer when you're out, and by chance you capture this deer, that you can use it for eating venison. So the Gemara asks, is this Shavu L'chol Nefesh? It's not. Are you allowed to shecht it? So the Gemara says, yes, you are allowed. Why? Because it's called Dovah Shavu L'chol Nefesh. If you shecht on Yom Tov, our practice nowadays is not to shecht. But if the tzvi comes by your way, it is allowed. Dovah tzorich l'chol nefesh come in. A tzvi tzorich l'chol nefesh. It is called shavu l'chol nefesh. Why? Because if people have the opportunity to eat it, or to serve it, or to be served with it, then they are likely to eat it. So he quotes that example as being something which can relate to this question. He leaves it open. He doesn't draw himself to a firm conclusion. Although I do know of one or two local rabbonim who have told people when asked, can I take a hot shower on Yom Tov, they said yes. But what I'm talking about here is halacha v'lo l'maaseh, and everybody should do according to the Rav who teaches them to decide whether you can do this. It's not for me to start today to say yes you can, no you can't. We wanted to look at the principles. And this principle can be applied to a number of other things. What's underlying it is to appreciate that Torah is something which applies to every single age. We have certain principles, and we want to ask ourselves legitimately, does this halacha nowadays change? Not because chas v'shalom we want to compromise the halacha, but because the halacha depends upon the nature in which we live. So in conclusion, the nature in which we live, we come now to sukkahs. We are mitzta'er if we are in a sukkah which is too cold or too wet. It's women's style. So you don't have to keep the mitzvah of sukkah. But the sukkahs that you are able to build nowadays, if you can make it more comfortable, then you'll be less mitzvah. I'm not suggesting you have to have a brick-built sukkah with central heating and with a dome roof where you just have a little pulley, or it will just be rain-sensitive and open and close automatically. But if one can make one's sukkah as comfortable as possible, just simply to put a heater inside it, then you will be able to sit in it much more easily and be more comfortable. And therefore we can say that the din of mitzta'er has changed from former times. Whereas originally it wasn't easy to put a heater in a sukkah because they had proper fires or whatever it is. So then you were mitzta'er, so you leave the sukkah. But now that you're able to keep the mitzvah of sukkah more easily because of the mod cons that you're able to put in it, then I think, with respect, that the din of mitzta'er becomes less and less. And so with that thought, may you all have a very nice Simchas Yom Tov, and may Hashem grant us dry weather that we won't have to worry about the rain at all. Thank you.